Mark chapter 3. I titled this message, The True Family of God. He tells us here in these few verses who they are that are His. The true family. Now, in the previous verses, the scribes accuse him of being in league with Satan. Trials come in many forms, don't they? They come in many forms. Some of them are so disguised you wouldn't even recognize it as a trial. As a trial. I remember Henry said one time, this happened years ago, someone got offended over something that happened in the nursery and left, didn't come back. And he said, they don't realize that they were tried of God. They went through a trial and failed, and they left. Trials come in many forms and disguised in many ways. Here, our Lord's family, they come and try to call him away from his duty. Mary has forgotten what our Lord said back in Luke chapter 2 when he was just a little fella. I must be about my Father's business. This is why I'm here. I am here on business. I am here on my Father's business. She had forgotten that. Satan is so subtle. He will use even a supposed good motive to stop or interrupt the progress of the gospel. I'm sure they were concerned about his health. In the previous verses, it says they thought he was beside himself. They thought he was beside himself, his family. They thought he was doing too much, taking too much upon himself. This is God. He can handle it. He can handle it. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's saving his family. He's calling out his sheep. He is about his Father's business. Now let's look and start in verse 31. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. They came to draw him away from the crowd and to take him home. You see, they thought that he was taking too much on himself. They feared for his safety. I think they feared because there's such a crowd there. And then you had the scribes who were casting these aspersions upon him about being in league with Satan. And they was afraid of that. It's evident they had not yet comprehended who this man is. He can take care of himself. This is God. This is God in the flesh. Even Mary, who believed. She believed him. She believed on him. She trusted him as her Savior. She trusted him. But even Mary, who believed, did not fully understand what was going on. It was the disciples that said, you remember when they was in that storm and our Lord rose up and he spoke and he calmed the wind and the waves? And they just stood back and said, what manner of man is this? Were they saved or lost? They were saved. Salvation is not in me knowing everything. It's in me knowing Christ and believing on Him. Believe me, we're going to be shocked how much we don't know when we stand in His presence. There's a whole lot we do not know. Just as they, when they were on that boat and He did that, They believed he was the Son of God. They believed that. They believed that he was the Messiah. But yet at that time they go, what manner of man is this? Salvation is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. And this is in John 6:40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him. Believeth on him. May have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. And the multitude, it says, sat about him, and said unto him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. They're looking for you. They want you to come to them, and you're going to go home. They want you. Word is sent to him by the multitude. Here's more pressure. They didn't just go in, one of them go in. No, they said, they talked to this one and then this one. And next thing you know, the whole multitude saying, stop. Your parent, your mother's out there. Your brethren out there. They want you. What they did not realize was that he's with God's family. He's with the family. Seated there. His disciples. Those who believed on him. Surround him in a circle. He's sitting there. I believe they're in a circle. Sitting there listening to him. He's with his family. You are the you who believe. We who believe. We are the family of God. Let that sink in. I had to sit back today from my desk and let that sink in. This is not a fairy tale. This is real. I'm speaking tonight. And I believe this. I'm speaking tonight to true children of God. The family of God right here is God's family. And I tell you what. This is the family of God. He's here. He's here. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's in the midst of it. He's with his family. He's never separated from his family. Ever. Ever. He's with his family. But Mary and him standing out there, and they say, you go in there and tell him we want him to come out here. And he answered them, that multitude there and those who said that. And he answered this and said this to the whole multitude there, saying, who is my mother or my brethren, my family? Who's my family? Who is the real family of God? Throughout creation, what, there's 7 billion people living on this earth right now? Is God the Father of 7 billion people on this earth right now? No. Because he clarifies this. He's the Father of all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, and do his will. That he's the Father of them. He's the God and judge of all others. Of all others. But I want you to notice something here. I want you to notice how Mary is treated, and it's not with disrespect. Believe me, he did not treat her with disrespect. But he put her and his brethren in their place. He put them in their place. Let me show you something here over in John chapter 2. Go over in John chapter 2. John chapter 2. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. She's saying to him, they have no wine. Can we do something about it? Or can you do something about it? I want you to notice what this is because, listen, he's her Lord. He's her King. He's her God. And he says to her in verse 4, Jesus said to her, He didn't say Mary. He politely, I think, puts her in her place. Woman. And that's the way they spoke back then, especially back then. He said, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. This is her Lord. She's trying to tell him what to do. No, that's not the way it works, is it? It doesn't work like that. He's God, He's King, He's Lord. We submit to Him. And let me go back here and read. She got it. She got it. Listen to her. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he says to you, do it. She got it. Whatever he says, you do it. You do it. But notice here how she's treated. This is important too. Because many believe that Mary, or they put Mary on equal footing with Christ. Actually, they put her above him. Many pray to Mary as though she were a mediator between sinners and God. Hail Mary, Mother of God, pray for us poor sinners. Well, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Because she's not the mediator. And she never pretended to be the mediator. She called herself blessed among women, not above women. She said she was blessed among women. You're blessed among men and women. You believe God? You're blessed too. You're blessed too because Christ dwells in you. You're blessed. Now Mary was a godly woman. She was a godly woman. But she was a sinner. She was every bit as much a sinner as Rahab the harlot. Being a virgin did not make her not being a sinner. No, she was a sinner. She was a sinner just as much as you and I. By birth. By birth, she was just as much a sinner. I tell you what, and by action, too. And by action. Her thoughts were just like our thoughts. Her ways were just like our ways. If anybody is truly holy and righteous, they are that way in Christ. Made that way in Christ. Made the righteousness of God, it says, in Christ. And there's only one mediator. The Scripture teaches us this. There's only one mediator between God and men, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. It is through Him we come to God. No man comes unto the Father but by me. It's not but by me and Mary. It's but by me. He's the only mediator. That's what it says over in 1 Timothy 2:5. We call on God, but we call on God through the name of Christ and only Christ. Nobody else's name. Nobody. There's only one name given under heaven, whereby we must be saved. And that name is Jesus Christ. And no other name. No other name. And then God is to be obeyed rather than family. God is to be obeyed rather than family. When all is said and done, I must know and do the will of God myself. Myself. I must seek to know and do the will of God myself. It doesn't matter if everyone else stands against me. If I believe that's the will of God, do it. Do it. Most of the time, the family would be against it anyway. It's rare to find a family where the Lord has saved most of the family. That's rare. You'll find one here, one there, saved in a family, you know, here and there. And most of the time the family is... Now when it comes to the gospel, they let you get religious. I mean, that's all right. You can get religious all you want. But when you believe the gospel of sovereign grace, you're going against most of the wishes of the family. Good example. Abraham would have never left home if he had listened to his family. Abraham, where are you going? I don't know. Well, that sounds like a real plan, Abraham. Sounds like you got it together. What are you talking about you don't know? Walter Gruber would have never went to Mexico if he listened to the family. This is what our Lord is teaching us here. God is to be obeyed. His will is to be done to the exclusion of all others. All others. We are to let nothing deter us from doing what we believe is the will of God. You know, that's when it comes to preaching. If you believe it's the will of God for you to preach, I know, you know, Eric, you're up here preaching, and Dale comes up here and preach, and Frank comes up here and preach, and when it comes down to it, I stand here and preach, when it comes down to it, it's not whether someone, this one or that one or that one thinks I'm called. No, what? That's between me and God. That issue comes down between me and Him. Doing His will. And doing it when you know it. Listen, turn over to Acts chapter 20. Paul, here in verse 22, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said, I know what's awaiting me, but they don't move me. I'm not going to not go. I'm going to go. I want you to look at another scripture. Look over in chapter 21. In chapter 21, look in... let me find the verse I want to start at. Let me start in verse 11. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle, which belonged to Paul, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. The man just said that the Holy Ghost revealed that the man who owns this girdle is going to be bound at Jerusalem. And now they're saying, Paul, you can't go. You're not going to change God's purpose and will. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded to stay and not go, we ceased, saying, The will of the Lord be done. Be done. We are not to let nothing deter us from doing the will of God, even if it cost us our life. That's what Paul's saying. Paul said, I don't count my life dear to me. Now he gives us a revelation here in verse 34 of his family. They came to him, and you know, the multitude said, your brethren, your mother is outside waiting on you. They want to see you. And he looked round about on them which sat about him. Those fishermen. Publican. Not ashamed to call them brethren. And he said, Behold, I'm going to teach you something. I'm going to tell you something. Pay attention. Pay attention. My mother, behold my mother and my brethren. And he's looking at his disciples. Then he clarifies this. He doesn't just take a hand and sweep over the whole crowd and say, all of you are my mother, brothers, sisters, and mother, my relatives, my family. Because it's not so. It's just not so. He says, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother, my sister, and my mother. The same is my family. That's my family. Our real family are those who believe God. Am I right? Is that not the real family? It's the saints. The real family are the saints of God. The Lord loved His earthly brothers and sisters and Mary. He loved them deeply. He loved them. I tell you what, He loved them like a brother ought to love his sister. I bet He never did have a fight with them. I bet there was never an argument. I bet He never argued with them. I doubt that He ever, I don't think He ever did. Never had a falling out with them. They took something, He said, take it. Take it. I like my two grandkids. They're sitting there ready to knock each other down. He says, you can have it. Here, take this one too. Take this one too. He loved them deeply. He loved them perfectly as far as a brother and a sister, as far as a family relationship. He loved them. I know He did. We love our family in the flesh. I have brothers and sisters. Four sisters, two brothers. I love them. Mother and a father, I love them. But the real family now, you. There's coming a day. It's coming a day. When me, my two brothers, my four sisters will all die. And the relationship we have in this life will be over. The connection I have to them in this flesh and my parents will be over. But the connection I have with you and them, if they believe on Christ also, but the connection we have with one another is forever. This relationship right here is going to grow, and it's going to grow, and it's never going to stop growing. In love, and fellowship, and joy. It's never going to stop growing. This relationship that we have with one another in Christ is eternal. It's eternal. You know, right now, there are different age groups in here. Younger ones, older ones. But someday we'll all be young. We'll all be young. And we'll enjoy each other's company and presence forever and ever and ever. That's right. If you don't join it now, you're not going to join it later, that's for sure. We enjoy it now, don't we? I enjoy coming over here and being with the family. This is the family. This is it. The Lord reveals that the true family of God are those that believe on Him and do His will. That's the family. The true family of God are all those who are born of God. They are His sons and daughters. Those born of God. And here's great comfort for all believers. And I'm going to close. The one seated at God's right hand is really and truly now, get a hold of this, our brother. Our brother. I have a brother that, as far as his flesh, I have a brother that lives in Hurricane. I have a brother that lives in Barbersville. But my real brother, my elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, is seated in glory at God's right hand. He has taken possession of heaven for the whole family of God. He's taken possession of the Holy of Holies. for the whole family of God. He's there representing the whole family of God. And many of His brothers and sisters are there now. They're now, they've gone on. I've known some of them over the years that have gone on to be with Him. You're a great comfort for all who believe. The one seated at God's right hand is our brother. In Christ we are heirs of God, it says, and joint heirs with Christ. It says in Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Christ our brother. So be that we suffer with Him, that we shall also be glorified together with Him. Listen to this, 1 John 3:1-3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now, right now, are we the sons of God? Man. That means a lot. I believe it'll mean a whole lot more when you're lying there taking your last breath. Son of God. Not like the Pharisee. He said, you're of your father the devil. Saved from darkness. Saved from your sins. Saved from your rebellion. Saved from the curse of the law. Now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. We couldn't handle it. We could not comprehend it. You know, when Paul went to the third heaven, he said, I heard things unlawful. He doesn't mean it was wrong to say it or to put it into words. There's no words to put it into. What he saw could not be put into human language. He just said, there's no reason for me to even explain it. It can't be comprehended in this life. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we know this. We shall be like Him. We shall be like our brother. Holy. Undefiled. Spotless. For we shall see Him as He is. And when the Lord looked round about on that crowd to reveal God's true family, He said nothing about race. He said nothing about sex, male or female. He said nothing about social status. He spoke of faith and obedience. There may have been a rich man there, and was probably some who were more prosperous, and there was some who were there who were just poor as could be. But if they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, they're my brothers. That's what He's saying. They are my brethren. These are the marks of the family of God. Or I can say it like this. These are the traits. Family. You ever see somebody has family traits? You can just see it in a family. You can see a family, and you can see certain traits throughout that family. Well, the family traits are these. Are these. Faith and obedience. That's the mark of sonship. That's the mark of the family. Faith and obedience. Faithfulness. Faith and faithfulness is a family trait of God's children. Am I a child of God? Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? If you do, you are a son of God. You're a part of the family. And if not, you're not His. Not His. Okay, Mike.